to, you know, being a dad of a young kid. But I remember coming up the stairs once. Jesse was no more than 18 months old, you know, and sitting in a bath with Joseph, as they did at the time, and all Jesse was singing was, "God, you're so good. God, you're so good." He had that in his head, and I thought, you know what? If there's nothing else, that's something for an 18-month-year-old just to be muttering and pondering and considering, that a faith statement such as, "God, the creator of this very universe, is good. You're so good to me." We have such a personal God. We actually have a personal Father who came down to us to save us. He's so personal. And he wants and desires that relationship with us. He wants us to be so consumed by him that he wants to be involved in every little area of our lives. There's nothing too small that you can't bring before him today. There's nothing insignificant in your life that you can't address and bring to him. His love is so great for us. His love is so, so great. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. It's an honour, as always, to be able to share your word. And I just thank you. I pray, as Tom says, Lord, that I'm just led, directed, and that the words are your words this morning. Thank you. First of all, so just want to set a bit of a scene before I kind of enter into the main topic. And it's just reading from a scripture around the Pharisee and the tax collector, the parable where Jesus talks in Luke, I've got the chapter in front of me, but it's verse 9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everybody else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. And tax collectors in them days, of course, were Jews operational for the Romans, and they really were despised. There wasn't anything considered much worse than them. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers, and I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." Now there's a bloke that's got it in order, you know. He's nowhere near as bad as a tax collector. He doesn't cheat. He's not like sinners. He's not an adulterer. He fasts, which is a good thing. He tithes, which gives his money, which is a good thing. Lots and lots of ticks in the box of everything that we would try and say is a good thing, right? But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrowing, saying, "O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." "I tell you," Jesus said, "this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before Father God. For those that exalt themselves will be humbled, and those that humble themselves will be exalted." See, there's nothing wrong with what the Pharisee was doing in essence. It's not like we're saying that we don't want to fast, and there's actually real benefits to fasting. It's a good thing to give and to be a giver and to tithe, and of course not to sin. You know, sin has its consequences. Sin has its consequences without a shadow of a doubt. So he's not saying that those things are something that we shouldn't try and do. But what he's saying is those things that we do shouldn't be the primary principle of our justification or our right standing before Father God. They should be a result of it. There should be a result of it. So, to be humble, we have to accept something which goes totally against this world's mechanisms and the way that it operates, which is we can't and he can. And what I mean by that is we're typically in this world, certainly in the commercial environment that I find myself in a large corporate IT company, where you've got this, you know, that kind of Americans kind of thing of the big beef up and get out there, we can manage this, we can take this on, we've got all this. And in principle, again, it's not wrong. That's not wrong, because the opposite side is that we haven't got this and we're negative and we can't do it, and you don't want to be down that road either, okay? But you see, Father God's system doesn't operate in the same operation that the world's does. We have to see that that's different. And the thing of saying, you've got this, can almost signify that, you know, we've got the power to be able to fulfill what we want to do. And yet, in 1 John 4, it says, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And in Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things. And it doesn't stop there. It says, through Christ who strengthens me. He's the one that empowers. He's the one that enables. And this is emphasized when we look in Isaiah. Sorry, didn't write the scripture down. I'm not sure. But it's trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's Isaiah. It's not Isaiah, is it? Sorry, guys. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. It's Proverbs 4?
Proverbs
3, 5 and 6. Sorry, yes, you're right. 3, 5 and 6. Yeah. I didn't write that down. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. It's not dependent on you. It's not dependent on your own strength. It's complete reliance and the humble position to say, I can't do this. And that's a hard thing for people to say. It really is. But it has to be backed up with, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It has to be backed up with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a dependence and a reliance on him. Not our own abilities, not our own strengths, not our own standing that's justified because I've got 5 weeks in a row at church, or I've given this amount of money to this, that and the other. It isn't. It cannot be. They are results and they're dependencies. They're things that come from this relationship, from this dependency of our Father and his righteousness. The Bible talks quite a lot about power, strength and authority linked to Father God's right hand. His right hand. And his right hand is power, it's strength, it's authority. And throughout the Bible there are lots of things that dictate how he uses his right hand. But it's very interesting when we dig into some of these scriptures, such as Isaiah 41:13, where it says, for I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand. I am the Lord who saves you and says to you, do not fear, I will help. help you. Just stay there for a minute. I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your powerful hand. Your powerful hand. I was going to use Jesse. Just grab him for a minute. David goes on and actually carries this conversation on in Psalm 73, 23. It says, yet in spite of this. And you know when David says, yet in spite of. David's had some tough times. It was crazy. Whenever you read in the Psalms and then there's a yet. It's those scriptures before were sure enough. They're something that I could have put down here. But yet in spite of my bad times and everything that was going on and the fact that I had 2,000 people chasing me down and I was in a cave with no other exit, okay? My very self clings to you. Your right hand, sorry, in spite of all this, I still belong to you. You hold me by my right hand, David says. David says, you hold me by my right hand. Natural sense, his strong hand, sorry, left-hander, but generally, the right hand is the strong hand. Show us your guns. Show us your guns. Right, so he's got quite good guns, right? This right hand is a hand of strength. It's a hand that would enable him to go and achieve things. But if I say, Jesse, give me your right hand, and he agrees to give me his strong right hand. Guess what his right hand is now? It's my strong right hand. I've now taken, and he's got my guns, which are much bigger, right? Thanks. Obviously, that is just an example, an earthly example. But the principle is there about what Father God is saying to us. In Psalm 63, David carries on, my soul, my life, my very self clings to you. Your right hand is what upholds me. There's an error there that says that is my righteousness. And then the Message version of that, which is quite interesting. You're my servant, serving at my side. I've picked you. I haven't dropped you. Don't panic. I am with you. There's no need to fear, for I am your God. I will give you strength. I will help you. I will hold you steady, and I will keep a firm grip of you. But it takes two. And I want to emphasize, this is not salvation. When we become born again, we're born again and we're saved, okay? And Father God isn't letting go. So don't take this the wrong avenue here. This is about day-to-day life. This is about day-to-day challenges. This is about Noreen. This is about all the people in our lives, the people that are in or around our lives that we're desperate to see off those sick beds, the people that we're desperate to see be brought into become Christians that are walking a life away from the Lord right now. These are all these people in our lives. And we've got choices, folks. And the best choices that we can make is to let go. Is to let go and let God. Let him grab us by our powerful right hand and say, Lord, I'm depending on you here. Show me what I need to do. This isn't a position of doing nothing. This restful position that we find ourselves in isn't inactivity, but it's God-led activity. It's not reliance on me achieving something or me trying to take it on. I remember when we were going through, before Joseph was born, Jen was pregnant, and we were like it was so peaceful. It was like so peaceful through that 9 months. And in fact, pregnancy was quite easy, wasn't it, Jem? I'm joking. I'm glad I'm standing behind this pulpit. I can't be attacked. So I don't mean that. What I mean is that we walked in that in rest. And I had seen my eldest sister, by the way, and that wasn't the case. And many other people in my life. But the bottom line is that we actually really did have rest. There was a thing that we can't do this. I went through that pregnancy, and then what I thought was a little girl was going to be popping out. I'd already named her. And then next thing you know, Joseph comes out. So that was the first part of my learning point of saying, well, I've been in this position of just holding my father's hand. Thank you for my little girl. Thank you for my little girl. She's kept in safety. Every time I went for the scans, and just thank you for my little girl. And it was like, Joseph? Whoa. You know, and in something took place there. And my hand unlinked from this peace position and literally took hold of this little boy. And I spiritually took hold of this little boy as well. And he became my love, he became my focus, and he became everything. So after a few weeks, we had such a horrible visit from the midwife, which said that he was losing weight because he wasn't feeding properly. Jem was absolutely distressed. It was a really horrible time, wasn't it, Jem? You know, everyone has their experiences, and I know my dad had me in hospital for many, many weeks, and there was other things. But anyway, ours was this. Our mountain was this size. And my dad said to me, I was on the phone, I was going, Dad, it's just like I'm so stressed. I just feel tired, this, that, and the other. And he said, you can't do it. You're taking responsibility for something that God's given you as a gift. He's not given you a gift so that you have to control and manage it without him. He's given it to you so that you can control and manage it with him. Father, even as a 12-year-old sitting over there, and he's going out into this world, I could stress. We can all stress about what 12-year-old boys have to come across right now. It's a very different life, even from when I was 12. But my choice still remains. Father, you've got my hand. You're leading me, and you're showing me, Father, how to be the best dad, the best father, to him. I will be what I need to be in his life because you've got my right hand, and I'm not going to try and take control of this situation because I can't, and I know my God can. Is it a one-time event? No. It's a continual. I actually got out of bed last week like this, and I rolled over like that. Because I was practicing in my head a process that I've got a tough day ahead of me. I've got a real challenging day ahead of me. Jem said to me, are you all right? She didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I was like this. And it was just a symbolic thing that I was saying, I'm getting up and I'm entering this day and I'm starting from a position where I know, Lord, this day is a better day if I choose that I can't and you can. This is a day that you can use me today if I'm humble enough to say that my skill sets, my degree, all the things that I've achieved put me here. You did. He put you here. He has empowered you for this day. Grace for today. There's an example as well. I mean, there's an example that I was told about in a book that I read. And it was about a monkey that was at a fence. And it had a hand through the fence. And it grabbed hold of some food or some sort of nut or something that actually couldn't come back through the fence. It grabbed it and it couldn't let go because it wanted it. And yet it was actually being hunted by its own lot that had a different breed or whatever it might have been. And this monkey was attacked, but it couldn't go because it was so gripping through the fence on this thing that would not allow it to come through. It linked in to something. And I thought, wow, what are we holding on to, guys? What are we holding on to which is preventing Father God from being able to do what he needs to do through the conduits that are in here this morning? What are we holding on to that we just need to go, Father, I let go of that. I let go of that situation. I let go of that person. I let go. And I let go again. No, I let go again. Father, thank you. Show me how to pray for that person. Show me how to be what I need to be in that person's life. Let go. And this is a strange thing because as a father, when I'd got a 1 week, 2 week old, that was not a concept of understanding. This was now my child that I have to look after. And I have to make sure that every day it's okay. And even if I'd done that then, even at 12, I'd still be doing it now. And at 24, my dad said it never ends, though there's still a time. I'm sure you guys can vouch for that, yeah? But letting go is the strongest thing we can do for the love of our lost ones or our children or our grandchildren. Mark 7:13, Jesus says, making the word of God to no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. Talking about how people ate at the time and all the traditions that were associated. But the tradition of man makes the word of God to no effect. That's like a big flag and a big warning for me. Do we want the traditions of man to hinder how Father God can operate? And I feel as much as this, it is so important that we do understand that tradition can stand in our way as well. And people will say, well, that tradition's a good tradition. Yeah, absolutely agree. Could tithing be classed as a tradition? Yes. Could fasting? Yes, it could. There are lots of good traditions. The prayer, the regular prayers, traditions. But I think it's so important that whenever we address, whenever we do something, even when we came here this morning, when we get up to come to church on a Sunday, because that's what we do. Whether I come to this church, whether I go on to up to my dad's church, whether I go online, whatever it might be, the decision and the choice needs to be, Father, thank you. This is the day that you've made. This is the day that you've made. And I'm going to go to church this morning. And I pray that I can be what you want me to be. And my heart will be open and I will be able to receive what you want me to receive. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. The humble prayer. So do not be anxious about anything. When something starts by that, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm going to round it off there. I've got more to say, but I'm conscious we've only got 5 minutes left and I don't really want to go into the next topic. But what I'm going to use the opportunity is to just to say, the Lord, whatever stage, wherever we are in our lives, however young, however old, we can write ourselves in and we can write ourselves out. I'm too young. I've got more important things to do. Or I'm too old, I've passed it and I've, missed the boat. Whichever angle, we can talk ourselves out of what Father God has got for us today, right now. But he's just saying to you, church, just give me your strong right hand. Let go of what you're holding on to and take hold of my left hand and let it become my right hand of authority and strength. Let me do what I need to do It was the rich man and going through the coming to God and coming to become a Christian. And Jesus said, with man, this is not possible. Like sending a camel through an eye of a needle. It's impossible for man. But then he follows it up and says, but with God, all things are possible. So don't let our natural mindset be conditioned to the things of this world. Don't limit what he wants to do because of traditions, because of experiences. They will just limit what he can do. Take the limits off him. Say, Father God, you're a God of miracles. You are a God of miracles. And you are a good, good Father. That song that says, that we're just going to play again, which is God, you are so good, is a faith statement this morning. It's a position of him just saying, Lord, I'm here for you. And our response is, God, I acknowledge that you are so good. You are so good to me. I am called, I am blessed, I am favored, and I am healed. In Jesus' name. If you could play that song, that'd be brilliant. And I'll just finish in prayer.
Lord, I will remember.
Yes.
What Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever.
Father, I just thank you for this time this morning. I thank you that as we head out of here and begin a chapter of another week, Lord, that we can just be so conscious of your great love for us and your desire for that relationship, that closer relationship. And that as we just have our eyes closed and we just picture Him just reaching out, grabbing us by our right hand. Says, son, daughter, I've got this. Trust in me with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge me, and I'm going to show you the path to take. I'm going to show you how to pray. I'm going to show you what to say. I'm going to show you how to prepare. I'm going to give you the strength. Thank you, Lord. In your mighty name. Amen.